of others. The king accuses them not of what they did, but of what they did not do. As one commentator puts it, theirs is a catastrophic sin of omission. When there was a need, they failed to show care with either their possessions or their presence. Someone I know had to take care of his siblings when he was growing up because his mother was never around. His mother would leave the children at home and then go to the neighbor's house to play games for the whole day. He had to cook for his younger siblings and be the parent figure. Instead of being protected and cared for, he was placed in a role he was never meant to play. His mother neglected her duty as a parent. When he needed her presence, she was not there for him or his siblings. Now, as an adult, he has to work through the emotional wounds caused by his mother's neglect. Failing to show care to someone, especially to the vulnerable, can have devastating effects on them. I wonder whether things would have been different for him if someone like a friendly neighbor had noticed the situation and provided the family with the care it needed. Will you and I be willing to step in to correct situations like these and provide care for the needy, just like the sheep who showed care with their actions? Now that we have seen the vast difference in their actions, we come to the next point. How did the two groups respond to the king when told about their actions? Both the sheep and the goats responded in a similar manner. We can notice something interesting in their replies. We see that both groups called the king Lord. But even though the goats called Jesus their Lord, their actions did not match with their words. Earlier on in Matthew, Jesus says in chapter 7, verse 21, that not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. With reference to chapter 10, verse 42, we see that these goats were guilty of not even giving a cup of cold water to the thirsty. Their actions showed that they were not true disciples of Christ, even though they called him their Lord. If we are truly disciples of Christ, our lives will show it by how we care for each other. We should care for each other as evidence of our discipleship to Christ. I suggest that the easiest way we can do it here in Prinsep is to join a cell group. When I came to Prinsep about 3.5 years ago, I joined Eldren cell group. Apart from doing Bible study together, we share what's going on in our lives and we pray for each other. This helped me feel more connected and supported in church. In another cell group I visited recently as part of my involvement with the Prinsep cell group ministry, I heard a sharing which I have permission to mention here. This member said that when she decided to get baptized, she met with objections from her family. Her family threatened to throw her out of the house if she got baptized. But she reasoned that if she did lose her home, she was sure that someone in the cell group would take her in. And so she went ahead. She was confident of receiving care from her brothers and sisters in Christ. So, if you have yet to join a cell group, I'd like to encourage you to do so. Not just to study the Bible together, but to have an avenue to receive care from others and to care for others. Caring for others need not involve big acts. It can be just simple things like buying a meal for your hungry friend or spending some time with those who are lonely. Next Sunday is Love in Action Sunday, where we will hear more about our social concerns ministries, like our Sarah Active Aging Centre ministry, Haven Ministry, which ministers to rough sleepers, New Life Ministry, ministering to prison inmates, and SMU hosts Family Ministry, hosting overseas students from SMU. These provide an avenue for us to care for others in different ways. Whatever that God has placed in your heart to do, do it as unto the Lord. And this brings us to the king's response to the sheep. Verse 40 says, "And the king will answer them, 'Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me.'" Some of us may ask, should we only care for other Christians? Or does Jesus expect us to care for even non-believers? In order to answer this question, the response of the sheep to the king may give us a clue. In their reply, they seem to be unaware of the significance of their good deeds. They didn't seem to think that their actions would be noticed by Jesus. And so it's unlikely that they thought, "Oh, you're a Christian, then I meet your needs. You're not a Christian, then I don't need to care about you." On the contrary, they probably cared for people regardless of who they were. Just in the past week, on Wednesday, 12th of February, the Straits Times featured the new community hub at One Holland Village, operated by our Presbyterian Community Social Services, or PCS. Do you recognize the guy in the blue and white floral shirt at the corner of the picture? Is he here today? Nah. Our very own Elder Jonathan Kok, who is the chairman of PCS, explained that this new hub is meant to better equip and empower those with special needs, as well as seniors. What struck me in the report were the remarks by our president, Tharman Shanmugaratnam, who was the guest of honour. He said that PCS is an example of an organisation motivated by a particular faith that is committed to serving everyone, regardless of race or religion. This quality of our Christian faith, the willingness to care for everyone, regardless of whether they are a part of us or not, is seen throughout history. During the various plagues recorded in history, Christians have been known to risk their own lives to care for those who were sick, infectious, and dying. They showed self-sacrificial care even for those who were not part of their group. This was so unusual that it was what distinguished the Christians. In 1527, during the bubonic plague in Wittenberg, Germany, the reformer Martin Luther stayed and ministered to the sick instead of fleeing to save himself. This decision cost his daughter her life. Some of us may think that his decision to care for others was foolish and reckless. However, Luther's words may provide us with some insight on how we can care for others. He writes, "Therefore, I shall ask God mercifully to protect us. Then I shall fumigate, help purify the air, administer medicine, and take it. I shall avoid places and persons where my presence is not needed in order not to become contaminated and thus perchance infect and pollute others, and so cause their death as a result of my negligence. If God should wish to take me, he will surely find me, and I have done what he has expected of me, and so I am not responsible for either my own death or the death of others. If my neighbor needs me, however, I shall not avoid place or person, but will go freely, as stated above." Christ has called us to love one another, and so we should care for others as evidence of our discipleship to Christ. As encouraged by the Apostle Paul in Galatians 6, verse 10, he writes, "So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. If we are to do good to everyone, how much more should we care for our own family, for our brothers and sisters in Christ? From the king's response to both groups, we see that Jesus identifies so much with his people that he says, "As you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. And as you did not do it to them, you did not do it to me." The goats didn't know that when they turn away from meeting needs, they were actually turning Jesus away. Because maybe people aren't really who they seem to be. If you work in courts selling home appliances, who you meet on the job may not be who you think he is. The Straits Times reported last year that the CEO of Courts, Mr. Harry Higashiura, has made it a practice to disguise himself as a new salesman or a curious customer and visit Courts stores. He does this to see things he would not normally see about the business had he remained in the office. Imagine if you, as an employee, were rude to your new colleague and it happened to be the boss. What a disaster! Jesus is telling us that he is the undercover boss. He is looking at how we treat each other, even the least of these. But when we are in need, we can take comfort that Jesus is for us because he identifies with us in our need. He is our big brother who will stand with us and take care of us. When we care for each other, Jesus sees it and considers it as the way we treat him. And so we care for each other because Christ cares about how we care. Some of us may find it hard to show care to others because of many reasons. Maybe we are afraid of what it would cost us. Maybe we don't have the time or energy to care. Or maybe we carry certain prejudices which prevent us from opening our hearts to some people. We may know that we should care, but to force out actions without a change of heart is difficult. So if we feel that way, what can we do? One foreign pastor shared about what he did to help open his heart towards others. In his free time, or when he was commuting from one place to another, he would intentionally observe the people around him and pray for the people he saw. Over time, God opened his heart to genuinely care for people. I thought this was good advice, so when I ride on the bus or the train, I sometimes try to observe and guess what the people around me may be going through at that moment. Some people may look tired and burdened. Many scroll on their phones aimlessly, consuming social media. Others may bear cuts on their bodies, showing their emotional pain. And I say a quick prayer quietly for them, that God will heal their hurts and reveal himself to them. As we observe our church member sitting quietly at the corner, or the people serving breakfast at the fellowship hall, or even the AV crew serving at the back, we can say a quick prayer for them as well. And maybe slowly, God will open our eyes to each other's needs and open our hearts to meet them. But Jesus doesn't tell us to do anything he hasn't already done for us. In the Gospel of Matthew, the parable of the sheep and the goats was placed as the last teaching Jesus taught before the Last Supper and his crucifixion, where he gave his body and blood for us to meet our ultimate need for God. And so that we can say to Jesus, "For I was hungry for God's truth, and you gave me food. I was thirsty for God's life, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger from God's family, and you welcomed me. I was naked in my sin and shame, and you clothed me. I was sick in my body, heart, and mind, and you visited me. I was in the prison of despair, and you came to me. Jesus cares for us so that we can care for each other with the love of Christ. Today, as you reflect on your life, if you have been turning away from the needs of others instead of turning your heart toward them, repent and turn back to God so that He may turn your hearts back to loving one another, so that at the last day, we can stand before God in confidence and hear Him say, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And may God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, perfect His love within us to care for each other with the love of Christ, that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Amen.